you to visit our church website and just search for it, you know, find it, because you can listen to this message. And you know, I've preached for maybe 4 or 5 weeks on this, because what God was doing in me as I was preparing and praying about our men's conference, it was just too good to keep just for our men's conference. And really, I think everything we've talked about this weekend is just too good. And I know that this was a weekend geared towards guys, but this will be accessible on the church website, and you guys can direct people. I think this was a good weekend for women too, the things that we talked about. It was directed at men, but we didn't just talk about men's stuff. We talked about Christ stuff, and it was really good. And I'm going to end things up just real quickly here, sharing with you. And really what I want to do is admonish you to not let this just be a weekend thing. God sowed some seed in us this week. He put some things in us. And the thing is, concerning seed needs to grow so that it can bear fruit. And some of the things that have been deposited in us this weekend, and maybe even last night as we were all praying in the Spirit and just reaching out into the realm of the Spirit, we may not even really yet even understand what God has started in us, but God has started something, and I'm excited about that. I've entitled this message, "The Weapon That Satan Fears Most," and I want to say real quickly, it's not that I think that what I'm about to preach is the most important message that was preached this week, but I think there is one thing that Satan fears more than anything else that we've talked about. You know, prayer, brother, you hit a grand slam. God used you, man. God used you. God used you. You too, brother. Grand slam. And Chris, brother Chris isn't here to shake his hand, but I'm just so proud to be part of a network of pastors like this. You know, and you know, there's great things that God can do through. You know, you watch television. I'm gonna brag on these guys for a moment. You can turn on the television and you can watch. Here I said I wasn't gonna say a whole lot. You can turn on the television. You can watch guys pastoring churches of, you know, thousands, and not carry an anointing like what we've seen demonstrated here. Because I'll say something to you, and my heart, my spirit grieves over what Christianity is evolving towards. Because it's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. And preachers are making a grave mistake in an attempt to gather more sheep in their flock, compromising the integrity of what Jesus gave his life for. And I'm proud to say none of that happened here. Man, it was good. And it's just an honor to be around other people, other pastors, other leaders who desire something more than what I call the soft serve gospel. There's something more that God has. Amen. You began to touch on it, Pastor Doug, just in the idea of, you know, the Bible says creation is longing for the appearing of the manifestation of the sons of God. This earth needs people to realize who they are, Christians to realize who they are. Creation groans for. And I know that verse speaking primarily about the return of Christ, but it's also, there's more to it than just the return of Christ. Everything changes when we begin, when the church realizes who we are. Because people want to be set free. You know, you think about when Jesus went to the island of the Gadarenes, the demoniac ran to Jesus because he wanted to be free. Why? He was drawn to something in Jesus. And when we start to operate in the presence or in sonship, and I really do think that those two things tie together. Jesus did what he did because he walked in the presence of God, but the reason he was able to walk in the presence of God, he knew he was the Son of God. And those two things work together. I'm going to share with you briefly here the weapon that Satan fears the most. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For it is by grace that you have been saved." Everybody say, "I am saved." "I am saved." "Through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It," everybody say it, "is the gift of God, not by works, so that nobody can boast. Now, in our fight of faith, we've seen this weekend and we have heard some very, very anointed, powerful truths delivered in a way that excites us and stirs us. You know, how many of you just wanted to shout at things that you heard this weekend? Can I tell you, next time you better then, okay? Always get a kick out of people who come up to me afterwards. Pastor, that was so good, man. I just wanted to jump up and down. Then why didn't you? Why didn't you jump up and down? Why didn't you shout? Why didn't you run the aisles? That is perfectly okay. It's part of what we are as Pentecostal people, that we can express to God the emotion and the excitement that comes in our spirit as God begins to speak to us in our spirits. We've heard about great things. We've heard about prayer. We've heard about the gifts of the Spirit. We've heard about the presence of God. And I'm telling you right now, these things are fierce weapons. And when used and when harnessed with humility and love, being the catalyst of them all, these things become really unstoppable forces. Yet I have learned in my preparation of really what I thought was going to be preached, thought that I was going to go in a direction, and in the preparation for that direction that I thought I was going to go in, what God really did was teach me something that I had never quite really realized, and it's the importance of this weapon that I'm going to share with you about. All these are powerful weapons, but there's a weapon that Satan fears much more than prayer, much more even than the gifts of the Spirit. And you know, I'm longing for a day when Pentecostals come back to being Pentecostal and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Because you don't see that much anymore. You could go to a Pentecostal church in our community anyway, and probably, I mean, you might be the only Pentecostal witness in Pella. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you are a light shining in dark. Not the Pellas. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you are a light shining in darkness, brother. And but, you know, you could go to some Pentecostal churches for 3 or 4 years and never once see the gifts of the Spirit manifestation. Never even see a tongue be given with an interpretation or a prophetic word going forth. And so we wear the badge of Pentecostal. We just wear it for show. We need to learn what it is to be Pentecostal and to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. That's what this weekend hopefully will do, is stir you to believe. Kind of like when you walk in the house after a hard day work and your wife is cooking something really good and the smell does something, your mouth starts to water. You might not even have realized how hungry you was until the aroma hits your nostrils, and now the saliva starts to stir. You're getting hungry all over again, aren't you? And you just ate an hour ago. Calm yourself down already, guys. The next thing you know, it's like, man, something's getting stirred in you. I hope that's what this weekend does, and I hope that you go home and you just say some of the things that have been suggested. But there's a weapon that Satan fears more than any of these other weapons, and it's a weapon that you might not even realize is a weapon. And that weapon is God talking to you. You know, revelation knowledge is such a powerful thing because it really is the only force that Satan cannot stop. There's something about when God speaks, nothing can stop what God has said. Nothing can stop it. A lot of times prayers can be hindered because of our own doubt. Prayers can be hindered, as Pastor Doug was talking about and as Pastor Chris shared, just because our motives are wrong. But you know, there's something that cannot, and you talked about Gideon, brother. You know, Gideon was a loser until God called him a mighty warrior. And God's word, his creative word, and that's the thing we have to remember about God's spoken word, the creative, the formative word, is it really doesn't matter what you are once God has called you something. Because if there was something missing, it's no longer missing. You know, who just shared from, it was you. You preached from Genesis chapter 1. What's so awesome about creation is what we overlook. The Bible says God spoke into what was formless and void and commanded something that did not exist to come out of it, that wasn't even there. It blows my mind to stop and think that there was no light. Everything was formless and void, but our Creator said, "Light be." He said something, and his words produced something that did not exist. You may not be a conqueror right now, but when God says you're more than a conqueror, it doesn't matter what you were. His word produces in you what he desires and wills. Just as rain falls from the heaven and causes the seed in the earth to bud and bring forth fruit, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will prosper in the very thing that I sent it to prosper in. You know, I got a friend over here today, Brother Shane. You did a great job. He's only been saved for a little over a year. Meth addict, got saved in jail, much like my story, much like yours. Gave his heart to Jesus, headed up the men's breakfast for everybody. Didn't he do an outstanding job? In men's group on Monday morning. Men's group on Monday morning. He went to the Azusa Street celebration. And he came back in men's group on, we have a men's group on Monday morning. And he said, you know, God spoke to me. I get so excited when I hear people say that. God spoke to me. And my life is changed by what he told me. So what did he tell you? He said, you're no longer a drug addict. You are a new creature. You'll never struggle with drugs again. You'll never be tempted to do drugs again. You will never desire it because I've made you into something new. The world says, once an addict, always an addict. The world says, this is something you're going to wrestle with your whole life. And you know what? If the world had its way, you would wrestle with it for the rest of your life. But God has something better. And when God says to you something, it does something on the inside of us. It puts in us what may have been missing before. And I'll tell you what, man. In the scripture, and I'll give you some references. I don't know that we'll make it that far. But read John chapter 6. You know, Jesus said to a group of religious people who should have known about God speaking, because according to Hebrews, God has always been a God that talks to people. The Bible says, in days gone past, God spoke to us through the prophets. God's always been a God that spoke to his people. You understand? He came down and talked with Adam and Eve. He spoke to the nation through Moses. He spoke to the nation through different prophets at different times. The scripture goes on to say, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his son. God is always he's always been a communicator. But you know, when you start telling people that God wants to talk to them, you start getting looks like, is this guy a nutball? Is he screwy? And Jesus was talking to a group of religious people who should have understood these things. Much like you guys should already understand that God wants to talk to you. And they got mad at Jesus because Jesus said, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you don't have life in you. The interesting thing about that is Jesus is the Word that was made flesh among us. He is the Word of God. And what Jesus was really saying is if you don't hear from God, you don't have life in you. But if you hear from God, you know what I have learned, and you know I look around and I know some of you go to churches. In fact, everybody in this group goes to churches like our church. We believe in the Word. You know, I tell people on a regular basis, the only difference between me and other junkies who didn't quite make it was I read the Word. I mean, I gave myself to the Word of God. That being said, I want you to know something. Reading the Bible doesn't get it done. You know, if reading the Bible was all it took to change your life, then every sick person, all they would need to do is open up the Bible and read, by his stripes I'm healed. And they'd be healed. But what you need is you need to hear God speak that to you. You know, Brother Chris began to talk about it when he said, the written word becomes the quickened word. Is it important for us to read the Bible? Absolutely. Do you know why? It positions us to hear from God. But reading, I know guys, I'm not kidding you, probably have a better understanding or at least memorization of the scripture than any of us. I was in prison with them. I mean, they could quote books of the Bible verbatim, not chapters, books of the Bible verbatim. You could ask them, start in Hebrews 3, bam, and still unchanged by what they spent so much time reading and studying. Do you know why? Because they're just words on a page until God by his Spirit begins to minister to you. But it's important to read. It's important to do all these things. But when we start hearing from God, nothing, and I mean nothing, can stop what God wants to do in our life. In fact, a verse, got it up here somewhere. I'm going to read this, then we are going to close. You know, talk about where there is no vision. This verse is good. It says, therefore, my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Think about the number of God's people who are enslaved and in bondage. Why? You know, Brother Doug talked about everything that we need is on the inside of us, and it is. But most people don't know it's there. You know why? They're not getting any revelation. The only revelation they got is that they could be forgiven of their sins. A lot of times, the only reason that that's the only revelation that some people are getting is because that's the only revelation most preachers know. I'm thankful for you guys, man. You guys are, you men came here, man, and you preached revelation knowledge. And we need that. But more than that, we need to be able to go to the Lord and hear from God ourselves. You know, the scripture says, and by the way, y'all can, the scripture says faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Faith doesn't come by reading. We get it wrong in our faith circles. Faith doesn't come by reading. Faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't even come by confessing. And we need to, don't make me say what I'm not saying, but do hear what I am saying. Your confessions are just your confessions. But when you start saying what God has said, it's different. It's different, man. And it doesn't matter what the doctor said after God says. It doesn't matter what the therapist said after God says. And so, you know, and I get the verse in Romans, you know, it says, for out of the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But what is it that we're confessing? We're confessing what God has told us. Jesus is my Savior. We've already heard from God when we're making that first initial confession, that revelation that Christ is Savior. We're not confessing something that man told us. We're confessing something that the Holy Spirit at some point revealed to us. Jesus is Lord. So we're not just making an empty confession or a religious statement. We're speaking what God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that confession flows from our mouth and it saves us. But where did it originate? God speaking to us. Well, I just want to challenge every person here. You know, we put a lot of emphasis on a lot of things in church. I've been so convicted about losing sight of the big picture. And you know, you can call it whatever you want. Some people call it relationship with God. I don't even want to leave that much room for error. Here's what I want to say to you. Are you hearing the voice of God? Because if you're not, you don't have life. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." You know why so many people in the body of Christ are weak and discouraged and broken and addicted and immoral and bondage and trapped in sin? Because Jesus said in Hebrews, later in that verse, he says, he sustains all things by his powerful word. You're never going to have strength. And you can pray until you fall over dead. We make praying about getting things off our chest. That's what prayers become to Christians. It's a counseling session, a way to vent. But prayer should bring us into a place where we not only talk to God, but we hear from God. Because when He speaks to us, everything changes. Same way with reading the Bible. Reading the Bible, we teach in church, most churches, probably not yours, but it's taught in many churches that reading the Bible is something that we discipline ourselves in. It's a devotional thing, but it's got to be more than that, or you're not going to be changed by what you're reading. But you read the word so that you position yourself for God to talk to you. Right. He begins to bear witness with your spirit. You know, that's what it is to be a son of God. Sons hear from their father. You understand what I'm saying? And not just what the preacher tells them God says. I want to say something here. There is this thing. In fact, Paul said to Timothy, remember the prophecies that were spoken about you. See, there is a place where a minister, you know, today, there was a place where it wasn't men talking, it was God talking. And those words can be received by people, and it can give life, and it can quicken them right there on the spot. But I'm talking about something different than that. I'm talking about being able to get into your private life and develop a routine of hearing from God. That's what I want everybody to do. I just want everybody to say, you know what? I'm not going to depend on my pastor to feed me, because if you are, you're probably going to starve to death. And it's not that your pastors aren't preaching good words, because I've done listen to them. They're good preachers. But you got to hear from God. And if you're not hearing from God in your private life, you just don't have a chance at all to make it. And I wish I could tell you some better news than that, but I can't, because that's the truth. And how many of you want to succeed? Honestly, want to succeed. And how many of you really want to You know, the interesting thing, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. What does the Bible say? That salvation is a gift, but that gift is revealed to us from faith to faith, glory to glory. And as wonderful as salvation is, and as huge as it is, it really does cover everything. We don't understand what all it covers or what all it offers to us, but God reveals it to us, doesn't he? It's a gift, and you know, gifts have to be unwrapped, and as we seek truth and as we remain open, we start to unwrap the gift and we start to discover things. God begins to speak to us. He begins to teach to us and teach us, and we start to recognize things about salvation that we didn't even know existed. And then we start to be able to heal people. We start to be able to speak life to people and give words to people, and understanding comes to us that we didn't have before. Why is that happening? Not because we went to church for X amount of years or led a Sunday school class or a small group, but because God said something to us. His word changes us. His word transforms us. And what saddens my heart the most is we've lost that in the body of Christ. Now, we don't even hardly talk about hearing from the Lord. In fact, if you do, you really might be thought to be schizophrenic or lunatic. You know, I remember during this election cycle that one of the candidates had made mention that he would pray and ask God what to do. They mocked him for that. They mocked him for that. The world mocks people. And a lot of Christians mock people that think God talks. And it's why the church is so jacked up. Stand up on your feet, man. We all need to hear from the Lord. And you've heard this said in different ways today. But let's just end by praying, and let's be people who are going to position ourselves to hear from God. Boy, I tell you what, man, it'll change your life. How many of you have ever heard from the Lord and knew it was God? Did it change you? Don't you want more of that? Continue to pray. Continue to read the Word. Continue to do all those disciplines that we need to do, but don't do them and stop until you hear. In other words, continue to do them until you hear. Keep praying until he answers. Keep reading until he speaks. That's what we need more than anything else. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God that talks and that we are a people that listens. And Father, more than anything, we need a word. You said, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. We're starving spiritually. We are weak. We are deprived. We are powerless. And that's the truth. And it's because we're not feeding on your words. Not the Bible. Your spoken rhema words. We are no longer natural beings. Natural men only know natural bread. And natural bread only produces natural life. But spirit men need spirit bread in order to obtain and operate in spirit life. And it won't come any other way. And so if you want to walk in power, if you want overcoming anointing, if you want to be and maintain victory, there's only one way that comes: hearing the word of God. Father, we open up our hearts to you. And God, as we go, I sense that there still are some people that have not quite got the breakthrough that they wanted. And I want you to know something. I believe in my heart that as you're driving home, God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. And you're going to know that it's God. And when he speaks, everything's going to change for you. So please don't leave here feeling like you were overlooked again. Just stay open. Stay open, because God is really, he's gonna speak to you. And that's all that you don't need the speaker to call you out and give you a word. And I know sometimes people come to church hoping that will happen and then get jealous because their friend got called out and they didn't get called out. God himself will speak to you. Do you know why? Because God's own spirit lives inside of you. Amen. Glory to God. The very mystery of the gospel, according to the Apostle Paul, is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Now, Father, teach us what that really is and help us to have a revelation of it, that we may go out and be the church that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey, I appreciate